Welcome to The Treasure Hunt, my personal attempt to share my musical curiosity with you. My name is Bas Wiegers, and I'm a conductor. For this episode, I spoke to Enno Poppe. For years, I wanted to do his piece Speicher, which he wrote for Klangforum Wien. We finally managed to program it in Vienna, in Rotterdam, and in Amsterdam. And as I speak to Enno, we have already rehearsed and performed the piece in Vienna. We speak about deciding what ideas you want to put in a piece, what material. His answer reminds me a bit of how David Lynch speaks about ideas and which ones get to live in his work and which ones don't. With Enno, obviously we speak about Speicher, about the many contrasts, about the way the piece deals with the borders of the possible. Enno uses the word strapazieren, which we don't know the proper translation for, but now I looked it up and it means something like to strain oneself or to search for limits. We speak about Enno's relationship to the history of music, his love of idiomatic material, and his close relationship to players, which is so important for the way he writes. And we speak about the different roles we can have. In the case of Enno, he's not only a composer, but also a conductor, a player, and of course, also sometimes, audience. How does this persona change when his role changes? Is a conductor a different person? The music you'll hear are fragments of Speicher, with Klangforum Wien playing and Enno himself conducting, and you'll hear a fragment of Augen, with Sara Maria Sun singing, the Verea Symphony Orchestra playing, and me conducting. I speak to Enno on Zoom. He was at home in Berlin. I was at home in Amsterdam.
Should we switch to English? Wait, I'm
recording. Yeah, we could. We try.
Am I recording?
You're recording already.
Yeah?
Super. Yeah.
So, hi, Enno. We're talking briefly about Speicher. I mean, we talked already quite a lot, and we worked together, how many times? I don't know, three times?
I don't know either, for years.
Yeah. So that is really helpful. So I dive into that maybe later a little bit, because I'm also curious, because you're also a conductor, how that feels. But anyway, first I want to talk about the piece, or I want to just ask you actually sort of three things. The very first thing that I'm curious about, because we know what Speicher means, you know, it's a storage space or a memory, or it's a very poetic title. And you show us that you have material and you put it somewhere, and then you make us look at it or listen to it or whatever. And the first thing that I'm sort of curious about is, how do you decide what your material is going to be? Why do you say this is interesting?
There are so many things which are interesting in the world. You know, for sure, there are lots of more interesting things than I can put in one piece, even if it's 80 minutes long. So, you know, I'm interested in a lot of things, and I can't really say, you know, that it's just, you know, sometimes just ideas about music, like ideas about material. I don't like the word material so much. It's kind of, it's a bit like too much technical, but like the idea of sounds or whatever sometimes just come to my mind, or I listen to music and there's something what I'm interested in. I think I could take this for something, or I'm just, you know, I work a lot with musicians. When I wrote this piece, it was written for Klangforum, and I know the musicians very well. So I just have in mind the people playing the piece. I see them, how they are moving, how they're breathing. And that's completely important for just the process of writing a piece. And for sure, there are just hundreds and thousands of ideas always, and I have to find something to put these ideas in order. So the thinking what Speicher means, like putting things in order, or to find something like a structure to have all these ideas in some way related to each other. That's the process of the piece. And that's a material too. And we're talking about material. It's not only sound material, but there's also like material, like an idea of how can I put things together, or how can I just, can I build up a piece that, like, I think I try in every piece, make it in a different way. There's not just one, there's not a trick or like a technique. I do this all the time the same, but that's also part of the process, is finding the right form or the right structure or the right, you know. But, and at the same time, a material is not only sounds, but it's also like expression, you know, that my music is very expressive, and yeah. I love expression. And I'm always in research of what could be expressive, and what's, and like all different kinds of music kind of have different ways of being expressive. And it's not that all has been expressed by music already, but I have to find new ways of expressing things and new ways of what can be expressive.
Is that also one of the reasons why you tend to use the instruments quite idiomatically? I find always in your music that when you have something for a trumpet, it can only be the trumpet that plays it. And when you write something, it sounds like, this sounds maybe a bit stupid, but not all composers have this so strong. And you really use strings with, you know, techniques that are really specific for string instruments. And you know, when the bassoon has his little solo, it's almost as if you remember the Rite of Spring, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, this is also, you know, it's,
yeah.
Is that one of your goals also? Do you really think about instruments in an idiomatic way?
Absolutely. It's not like only a goal, but it's like the way I'm thinking. It's like, you know, I work a lot with musicians, like that's part of my profession, and I like working with musicians. Oh, these people, you know, they start as a child practicing their instrument. There's like people, they play 50 years, they have like a relationship, you know, with the instrument. They're like, the instrument is a partner of the people. And I think this is just wonderful. It's just something. You can't invent that. I just can give the musician something else and just expect that this another thing is treated as the instrument, what is the partner of the player. So yeah. I think this kind of this lifelong experience of the players is something what I can work with. And when I have this in mind, I can really challenge the musicians a lot. I think my music is always difficult to play, but it's like the difficulties result, that's a partnership of me with the musicians. I know about the difficulties, I know when it's difficult or when it's not difficult, and I just love that, because I think I can go very far when I just know what are the problems.
It's interesting because one of the things that, and you will recognize this also because you're a conductor, but one of the things that we had to find out in the rehearsal is, for example, how fast or how slow something works best. So you sometimes you write almost too crazy tempi. And of course, the piece is also about this. So, you know, this is the deal. And then during the rehearsals, or even, you know, you try out and you realize, okay, now this was actually a little bit too fast because now it sounds away from what it should be, or it's less effective or somehow. But you have to sort of find this border, and it's not very easy. You really have to try it out and then fail. Okay, this was now too fast, or this was now too slow, or this was now too soft, because then you lose it, or was that part of your game? Was that part of your setup that I'm going to write a piece that is really going for the crazy extremes in?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I thought I want to write a full evening piece, like an 80-minute piece, I thought for sure I have to go to the extremes, and like lots of extremes, like the extreme dense or the extreme fast or the extreme loud and extreme shrill, but also like the extreme slow parts. And like the, you know, there are like lots of different ways of thinking that your music can be extreme. And for sure, this is kind of part of the process. So I think in the first piece, it's not extreme. It's like, you know, it's just the beginning. And you know, the process of the piece was that first I wrote only the first, like the first movement, Speicher One, was like called Speicher. When we, you know, I thought this is the piece, but I thought that was just too easy, just to have this piece. I think it can be very well, it can be played separately, but I thought the idea and the structure and the way how the music develops and how it evolves could be just expanded, and I just could try out and go to really to the borders, like to come from the middle register, like the middle speed and middle dynamics, and go on and on, and just speed the piece up or slow the piece down, and getting to more louder and softer, and to just check out what the piece is able, what the piece is able to do. Just it's about like strapazieren was my word, you know, I don't know the word in English. It's kind of, you know, like there's something, you really put a lot of pressure on it.
Right.
You have it, but you put the pressure, and I just want to try out and to check out if it's still, if the piece is still coherent. You know, as the more and more it goes on, the more ideas are coming in. And, you know, in the fifth movement, I just can throw everything at the same time. And sometimes it's like, kind of chaotic, but it's not, because you're just used to you're in the piece and the kind of, if you would start with the fifth movement, it would sound completely chaotic because you have no idea what it is about. But when you are in the process of the piece, you understand that this is not chaotic, it's just kind of a very specific kind of order. Thank you.
I'm curious now because you talk about the bigger structure of the piece, and you also said that at the beginning a little bit that how you treat the ideas is also part of your, let's call it, material again, in lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But I also have the feeling, and I know that you are doing this construction in a very you have systems to do that, and you work sometimes with fractals, and you work with this kind of mathematical systems and stuff. But I also have the feeling that you have a very a fixed or a very fine intuition when you have to change something, because I always have the feeling that you think also a little bit as an audience, or does that come out of the way you write? I mean, I always have the feeling that you give us just enough to recognize something as an audience, but then not so much that we get bored. Do you understand?
Absolutely. So I think that's completely right when you say so. I think I definitely want to hear something. I want to listen, and I want to make people listen to something what I found. So I have to help people to get to that point. So if the piece is too complex and people have no idea what it's about, they get bored. And if it's not complex enough, they get bored too. So we have just to be in the, like, you know, just in the middle of just to stay. And I think exactly the point. What do you recognize? When are things changing? What is a variation? What is a contrast? Or what is things are falling out or coming back? Like, all these things are building a musical process. And that is kind of my pre-thought of this piece, was absolutely that I had I built a structure of, I know exactly when things are coming back and when I need something new, and when do I get back to a variation of something, and, you know, and so on. And that was kind of, it's an overall thing for the whole piece, and in a different way. But this structure doesn't say anything about what it is, you know, like for the material, or like, for example, the linear stuff or the melodies. So the structure just says, I need another melody here. It's not the same melody anymore, but it has not to be a melody. I think just, you know, contrast can be a big contrast or a little contrast or a bit things which are a bit similar or completely different. And, you know, all these ways of just describing things makes the musical process.
But do I understand it well that you make the sort of the bigger picture, you completely predetermine it? And then the smaller decisions, you have personal freedom of how you want to shape it.
Yeah, more or less. So I have just, you know, the bigger thing is just I know the relationship between things which are changing, variations, or like similarities or differences, contrast. And that is like pre-built, but for sure I'm completely free how I do that. So that means, for example, when the piece is going on and I feel I need big contrast, I can do it. Or if I feel the contrast, I don't need only a little contrast, I can do have a little contrast. You know, this is this I think it's just working with something what makes me completely free, like the pre-thoughts don't make me a slave. You know, I don't compose like a Sudoku, you know, I fill in numbers, but I'm completely free. I can change the rules all the time, and you find in the piece very easily. So it's not easy to analyze for myself. Like 10 years later, I don't know often exactly what I've done, because I am very free with my plan. And the plan is part of the composing process. So that means when I'm in the process of composing, I cannot only change the the musical things, but it can change the plan too. So it's just part of, you know, going on. And for sure, everything is about listening. So it's about that. I want to have the public or the listener stay with me. And that is, I think, it's the biggest and the most important. Is not talking about structures or if I do mistakes in following my structure, but it's about that people are able to follow the music.
But this is a very hard thing to predetermine. And I'm so happy I'm not a composer, because I have no idea how I would do that at home. Because to be honest, in your piece, I'm sure you know this as well, the third movement and the fourth movement are both very slow. At the beginning of the fourth movement.
Yeah.
And then in mm-hmm. the duration of the fourth movement, we get a different trouble. But but this, for example, for me, it was very hard to feel in the rehearsal situation how that was going to work in the concert. And actually, only when we got to the concert, I got a feeling for how we should, you know, pace this or how we should...
Yeah.
And it's sometimes I find it as a performer, not necessarily only with your music, with music, I find it sometimes very hard to know this beforehand. Is it also, I mean, I'm sure you have a different imagination being a composer, but is this also something that you sometimes wonder until you hear the piece, if it's right?
Yeah, sure. You know, that is for sure. The piece is there when you start to rehearse it. Oh yeah, when you can hear the music, the score is not the end. You know, and for sure there are corrections of you know, I'm correcting with the musicians together. We find things, and it's not, the piece is never perfect when you start it. But for sure, on the other hand, it's, I think I have need to trust things, and I have lots of, I think I have a lot of music in my mind, and I feel it, you know, I don't believe that my plan says this is right, but I have to really to feel it. I have to get into the matter of the weight of the sound and the, you know, the needs, what the sound needs. And I think this works well. I think in the problem is that in the fourth movement, the first fast tempo always feels a little bit slow. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's, I have just, exactly, you know, that same
it's
feeling.
Really hard for me to keep it slow, but I think it's good to keep that slow, just to have the, you know, but you know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. But you have to try out for yourself also what works.
Yeah.
And also for the situation. It can also depend from the hall to the hall.
Yeah, sure.
I would say.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. Thank you. Now that you're talking about also doing it yourself, one of the things that I liked, a lot in our collaboration is that when you were with Musikfabrik and you did the very first rehearsal of Procession, the piece that you wrote for them, and I happened to be in Cologne, so I asked you if I could sit in on that rehearsal, and you said yes, and it was very interesting to see that happening, you know, that sort of double creating, because you wrote all the notes and then somehow you started to recreate this own music that you wrote. You do that all the time, so for you it's probably not so special, but for me it's weird because you had a double function. How are you then still a composer, or are you then really thinking as a conductor, or is that the same person?
No, for a long time I didn't conduct my own premieres of the pieces because I thought it's too complex. It's too complicated for me. Just, you know, exactly the two roles, what you're doing in the rehearsal is completely different. And as a composer, just good to have a conductor I can trust. And he, you know, the conductor does the work with the musicians and I just can listen and with my nervosity. And, you know, if it sounds wrong, you know, as a composer, you always think, oh, it was my mistake, you know, it's wrong, you know, it's in the first rehearsal. Normally, you say to composers, don't come to the first rehearsal. Absolutely. Because composers get so nervous because they think everything sounds really awful, yeah, and it's their fault. But, you know, as a conductor, I know it's not the fault of the composition. It's just normal that in the first rehearsal, it doesn't sound good because it's the first rehearsal. And so, for sure, I had to adapt the situation. And sometimes I think it maybe would be better not to, because I have to be, I have to switch sides. So when I'm conducting the rehearsal, I have to first completely believe the score as I would do with a piece of someone else. You know, like I could, as a composer, I could change everything all the time in the rehearsal. I can say, okay, no, we do something else because it's my piece. We could do it. But it makes no sense because I have to trust in my score at that moment. And I think it's best to do this with people I really believe in and I can trust. You know, that's like, it's the part of the collaboration, like the Musikfabrik Klangforum, Ensemble Modern, Ensemble Mosaic, all these great groups, which I know very well. With them, I can do it. You know, that I felt like after this first rehearsal of Procession, I was so super emotional. And it's not as a conductor, I shouldn't be asked that like that. But it was okay because they know me.
Yeah. You need this. It's funny for this kind of vulnerability. You need also this safe space of, but with the ensembles. Also with Klangforum, or, you know, the ensembles that you feel are also receptive to this kind of, you know, vulnerability or warmth or
I think they really they like it. In fact,
they like it.
To be and part of this kind of this process. Yeah.
And to be honest, this is also because I get this question a lot. You know, as a conductor, why do you like to do new music and. And I think this is because, you know, you could make much bigger career when you just do dead composers. But this is one of the things that I really like, is the fact that you are there and you are discovering it together. And you are you're always working with these people that have the same kind of curiosity.
Yeah.
And this was very, very beautiful in this Musikfabrik rehearsal. But also,
I definitely.
Also later when we worked together, when I conducted your album piece with Media, and you were there the whole time, it was also the same. I mean, it's not a specialized new music group, but it was also, you know, you were there and we were in very good collaboration. And of course, Sarah Maria Sun did an amazing job singing those beautiful notes. So it was also... You had the same kind of, or a similar kind of warmth, I had the feeling.
That was very special because directly before I wrote this piece for the WDR Orchestra in Cologne, I conducted the orchestra. So that meant that I just know all the musicians very well, like each player I had very special. So it was like composing this piece for the orchestra, not the, it was chamber orchestra, like 36 players. I knew the people and I could write for the orchestra, like for an ensemble, because there was not anymore this fear of being anonymous, like what is sometimes with orchestras where you have just 100 people and you have no idea, like all these people, I think they don't like me or they don't like my music, or have, you have not just no idea. And that was good. With this piece was really good. And I thought the connection of me with you and of with the singer with the orchestra was really very good. And that was like, because I think I knew them very well.
Does that go away, though, this fear of, I mean, fear, but this idea of like, this is a big orchestra and they might not like me or whatever. I mean, I have a feeling that as a conductor, I start caring a little bit less now.
As a conductor, yes. But as a composer, it's really hard because you spend like writing an orchestra piece a year of your life. True. And you have then people that have three rehearsals and or two rehearsals and they don't like your piece. And, you know, you have like there's no feedback. And that's really hard. You know, it's kind of you have really to think twice if you want to write an orchestra piece, because this can be really frustrating.
True. True. Although also there we had a nice experience in Tallinn.
That was great. Yeah, this orchestra is really great.
They were also very open, and it was no problem.
No, but back to the last question is that I like working with composers, living composers as a conductor, because I like being a part of the process. Exactly what you said, like be having composers in the rehearsal and going like. Being part of a creative process and inventing the pieces. And I even like more to have the composer like maybe half a year before while he's writing the piece to get in contact, to stay in contact, to try out things with composers and be part of the creative process of inventing the pieces. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's one of the most rewarding things, you know, to know after you did a piece and the composer is there, that he or she or they are really happy with, you know, how it went and with the whole process. And it's very it's very rewarding, to be honest. That's what we do. Maybe this is enough. I don't know how I'm going to make a podcast out of this, but you said some beautiful things. danke, Enno.
Ja, sehr gerne.
Und du musst noch was, einen Salat essen, glaube ich, oder?
Ich muss jetzt noch was Gesundes essen oder so, genau.
Ja.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Treasure Hunt. I will put links to the pieces in the show notes. If there are subjects you would like me to speak about in this podcast, contact me through my website. Please follow this podcast on your favorite platform and stay tuned for the next episode.